Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. When and wherever you are listening, thanks for joining us online to be encouraged by the Word of God. I am Pastor Mark. Pastor Steve asked me to preach on this text a while back, and I've been preparing for it over the last couple of months. Before we continue today's message, I want to encourage you to go to rcfirst.org to listen to Pastor Steve's YouTube video as he provides encouraging words in the midst of this current COVID-19 pandemic. Again, thanks for being part of First Wesleyan Church, and may God bless you. Today we'll be reading from John 17, starting at verse 1 and going through verse 5. I encourage you to find a Bible to follow along as we read. Again, we'll be reading in John 17, verse 1 through 5. Today's message is called Jesus' Prayer. As we look to the passage today, you will probably notice the word glory is mentioned a number of times, 5 to be exact, and in a number of different ways. Ways such as glory, glorify, and glorified. Throughout the Gospels, we can see Jesus gave God glory through his actions, teachings, and thoughts. As Christians, we are called to be like Jesus. If Jesus glorified God with his life, then we as Christ followers need to do the same. The question isn't, should I give God glory, but how do I give God glory with my life? As Christ followers, we should be asking this question, how do I glorify God? When we talk with our coworkers, we should be thinking, how do I bring God's name into this conversation? When we are around friends and family and on the move, our question should be, how do I give God glory where I am at? In light of recent events, many are going through times of uncertainties such as food shortage, job layoff, or being let go, loneliness in one's home, and more. In times such as these, the question of how do I glorify God becomes perplexing to answer. This question is the general motive of God's people, to bring or reveal God's glory where they are at in the present time. As we enter into today's text, I believe Jesus reveals the answer to this question. How do we glorify God with our lives? We will be reading from John 17, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the works that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had before the world existed. Last week, Pastor Steve gave the message titled The Overcomer. The message was inspiring, comforting, and I encourage you to listen to it if you have not. Within the message, he points out that Jesus foretold his disciples forsaking him. However, Jesus says he is not alone, but God the Father is with him. Jesus even promised the disciples that there will be tribulation in the world, but he has overcome the world. It is this hour that starts the countdown to Jesus' crucifixion, and we see Jesus referencing this hour at the beginning of John 17. In the first verse of John, we see that Jesus lifted his attention from his disciples to God the Father. His eyes are lifted in prayer. I can only imagine him looking at the face of his Father. The first words to come from his mouth are, Father, the hour has come. This hour is the start of the final countdown that would ultimately end in his death. If you have ever played in a competitive sport, you would know a similar feeling. At the beginning of a season, you are handed a schedule of teams you will be playing. At the moment you are handed the schedule, you may make some comments of which teams you will play against, but you are not pressed for the games. However, when you are suited up in the locker room, whether for a basketball game or football game, at that moment, you realize that it is game time. You realize the hour has come. The feelings of excitement and nervousness rush to us all at once. Jesus, by announcing the hour has come, acknowledges the time of his earthly ministry has come to an end. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, are the next preceded words in verse 1. In the realization of the hour which leads to his death, Jesus asked the Father to glorify him, that he may glorify the Father. This hour would follow with betrayal by one of his disciples, deserted by the rest of them. He would be beaten, mocked, falsely accused, and crucified. Yet Jesus' prayer is not making this hour disappear, but that he would glorify God in the midst of the hours to come. Jesus wasn't focusing on temporary circumstances, but on God's glory. God's glory is something that just is. Time has no effect on it because God's glory is eternal. Even in the midst of his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, moments before Judas, his disciple, betrays him, Jesus says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus sees the bigger picture of his circumstances. He sees the Father's plan, and he asks God to be glorified within the Father's plan. Jesus is focused on God's glory. We see this throughout the Gospel of John. In John 5:19, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." And again, we see this in John 12:27 through 28. "Now is my soul troubled? And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from the heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Here, Jesus reveals the key to how to glorify God with our lives. Jesus' focus was not on the temporary situation set before him, but on God's glory, his eternal glory. How we glorify God with our lives is not by focusing on our temporary situations or circumstances, but by focusing on God's glory. By focusing on God's eternal glory, the very mindset of how we handle temporary life situations changes. Our mindsets change from "how do I get through it" to "how do I best glorify God in it?" Today, there are many temporary focuses that can hinder, and some have hindered us from glorifying God with our lives. They have taken our focus off God's glory. For example, the recent pandemic concerning the COVID-19, the loss of jobs, the loss of a loved one, the cancellation of a trip, the straying of a child, the isolation from friends and families. Maybe it's the breaking down of a vehicle, the worrying of bills, your physical health, or a struggling marriage. All these things can cause us to focus on the temporary, but we must turn our eyes to the heavens and call out to our Heavenly Father, "Father, help me reflect your glory in this time of trial." If we are to glorify God with our lives, we cannot focus on the temporary situations. We need to focus on the glory of God through every circumstance, good or bad. The other day, I had the opportunity to play fetch with my dog. I have a dog toy that is made by the brand Nerf. Nerf is usually a brand that makes dart guns or sporting equipment for kids, but have expanded their product to animal toys. This toy is in the shape of a football, and its colors are lime green and blue. When I throw this football, I don't try to throw it far, because I would be constantly jumping over the neighbor's fence to retrieve the football. When I throw the football, I throw it high. And when that ball is soaring through the air, my dog is focused on this lime green football. She is aware or conscious of where she is stepping, but focused on the football. We need to focus on God's glory in a similar way my dog focuses on her toy. The toy is her sole focus, and her surroundings are not distracting her from her toy, her goal. We need to focus on God's glory in our life and not let temporary circumstances distract us from his glory. Jesus revealed this, the main idea that how we glorify God in our lives is by focusing on God's glory. As we continue, Jesus models three ways to focus on God's glory. The three ways to focus on God's glory are to pray for his glory, to know him for his glory, and to live for his glory. An easier way to remember it is pray for it, know him for it, and live for it. The first way Jesus models it is we need to pray for it. Jesus starts off John 17 as a prayer to his Father. We get a unique chance to see Jesus in his prayer life. His first request is asking the Father to glorify him. Jesus prayed for the Father's glory in his life. We need to do the same. There is something about prayer that aligns our focus to God's will. One commentator says this: prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. Prayer conforms us to the will of God, and in doing so, brings God glory. Jesus knew he could only be glorified to glorify the Heavenly Father. He asked for God's glory and not his own. In John 8:54, Jesus says, If I glorify myself, my Father, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. Our glory must be given by God to glorify God. We in ourselves cannot create glory for God, but we give the glory that God has already given us. For example, when we tithe, we are not really giving our own money to God, but the money that God has already given us. We may work for it, but at the end of the day, everything in and on the earth is the Lord's. Yet he allows us to steward his money. In the same way, he allows us to steward his grace. We are to pray to God to help us reflect his glory, to glorify him. We are to pray for God's glory to be in our lives. In verse 2, Jesus continues, since you have given him, the Son, authority over all flesh to give eternal life to whom you have given him. Jesus has announced that he has authority over all flesh. The word flesh has a negative aspect to it. It signifies the idea of fleshly desires and worldly desires. The idea of sin follows the word flesh closely. Jesus has authority over all flesh, all sin, and all the world. For this reason, Jesus has the authority to give eternal life to whom the Father has given him. This last phrase may be confusing, that the Father has given people to Jesus that they may have eternal life. It conflicts with this idea of free will. This is not the first time that this phrase has appeared in the book of John. In John 6:44, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. The key for understanding this is in the word draw. I believe that God has drawn, is drawing, and will continue to draw those to Jesus for eternal life. He draws individuals to Jesus through the working of his Holy Spirit and brings them to the point where the individual can make a choice for Christ. We as humans are depraved and cannot make a choice for God on our own. This is part of the reason why Jesus came, that is, to set us free from the bondage that sin has on us and to enable us to make a choice for Christ. The idea is called prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is God's grace that draws individuals out of the bondage of sin or the choice of sin in order that they are able to make a choice for God. As Christians, it may be better to change our term free will to freed will. God's grace has freed us from sin's bondage, and in doing so allows us to choose Jesus and have eternal life. It is what Jesus says next that brings us to the second way he models how to keep our focus on God's glory in our life. This way is by taking time to know God for his glory. Jesus says in verse 3, "This is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Eternal life is knowing the only true God and Jesus. Eternal life will be searching the depths of God's infinite glory. We are to know God for his glory. We need to take time out of our busy lives to know God. We cannot glorify God if we do not know his will. How do we know his will? By knowing his word. Are we taking time to know God's word? Do we desire to know him? And in knowing him, know eternal life? Do we pray to God and take time to pray for his presence and glory in our lives, our families' lives, our neighbors, our coworkers? We need to know God's will in order to know his glory and how to reflect his glory. We need to realize that eternal life starts now. It is not now in the present. It doesn't start when we die. We need to know God now. We need to start knowing God now. An example of this is when we are getting to know our spouse before we marry them. We take the time to find out who they are, what they like, and what they don't like, and much more. That doesn't start when we marry our spouse, but it does continue when we marry our spouse. We need to know God, need to know about God and who he is now, before we are fully glorified in Christ. Another example is a person wanting to become a doctor. If that person is going to an interview, he doesn't show up to the interview saying, "I haven't gone to school to acquire any knowledge. I figured that when you hire me, I would take the time to learn then." No, doctors take years to learn the needed material to be a doctor. We need to take the time now to know God before our earthly bodies fail us. A pastor by the name of Paul Washer states it this way: God is infinite. Heaven will be an infinite chase, an infinite tracking down of the glories of God. But most don't want that. Even some who attend church don't want that. The proof of why they don't want that is they don't want to know God now. If you don't want to know God now, you won't want to know God then. Eternal life does not begin with dying and going to heaven. Knowing God and focusing on God starts now and will continue for eternity. The beautiful thing is that we have the choice to know the only true God and Jesus Christ now. Maybe God has been drawing you to him, to know that he has sent his son Jesus, that if you believe in Jesus, you will not perish, but have eternal life. Even right now, he gives you the invitation to know him, and that's a great thing. Many of us are confined to our homes because of this COVID-19 pandemic. What a perfect time it is to know God and his glory. I often hear the excuse that we are too busy to dig into God's word every day. Since we are confined to our homes, we need to spend more time with God. What if God is using this pandemic to draw us closer to him? What a perfect time to create a healthy habit of reading the Bible and creating a routine prayer life. Jesus shows us by knowing God, we are able to focus on his glory. The last way Jesus models on how to keep our focus on God's glory is by living for his glory. Jesus says in verse 4 of John 17, I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have gave me to do. Everything Jesus did was aimed to glorify God. John 5:36 says, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. Jesus was intentional on how he lived for God's glory. His every thought, word, and deed was in some way focused and purposed for God's glory. We need to live our life for God's glory. Our actions, our thoughts, our words are needed to be with intention for God's glory. How we live our lives reveals that we are Christians. Jesus in Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Everything Jesus did revealed that he was sent by God. The end goal of our faith is to live our lives for God's glory, in which shows we are of Christ. Our lives are not determined by our profession, education, or political name, but how we live for God's glory. You can give God's glory in everything you do. Even if you're changing a dirty diaper or wiping a runny nose, by caring for and loving your child, you are modeling how God cares for us, and therefore you are glorifying God. That is a great thing. You are revealing his character and his nature. I used to work at Rapid City Regional Hospital, which is now called Monument Health. My title was a patient care technician, or a PCT, and I worked in the ICU. My job consisted of serving patients. I would serve patients by feeding them, taking vitals, and even bathing them. Most people in the ICU or in the intensive care unit aren't able to bathe themselves. Thus, they need others to do it. One day I was bathing a patient with some wash rags. As I was washing the patient, I thought to myself, how do I glorify God in this? It was at that very moment I was washing the feet of the patient. Then I remembered Jesus washing his feet, disciples' feet. I realized in that moment that I was loving and serving my neighbor as Christ loved and served his disciples. How we live for God's glory is by modeling and reflecting his character in all we do. We can glorify God in the littlest of things just as much as the more evident of things. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through him. Whatever you do or whatever you are doing, whatever you do for a living, whether you're a teacher, coach, doctor, nurse, office worker, gas station attendant, or a barber, do it for the glory of God, bringing the nature and character of our God with you into the workplace, supermarket, movie theater, everywhere you are, everywhere you go, bring with you the glory of God. As we end here today, please look at verse 5 of John 17. Jesus says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Here we see that both God's glory and Jesus existed before the world. They are eternal. I want to focus on Jesus asking the Father for his glory. In a moment, I am going to pray for God's glory to be in your life. As of late, many routines, schedules, lives have been altered. Schools have canceled, restaurants have closed, jobs are in the questioning, and the grocery stores are crowded. I want to let you know that God still can use you to bring glory in this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy word. Thank you that you never change, even when the world or our world has changed for the worst. Father, I pray that you will continue to bring glory into our lives, that you may glorify you. Father, help us in this time of need, this time of change. Show us your path that will lead us to bring you glory being revealed in and through us. Father, help us stay focused on your glory and not on the temporary circumstances of this earth. Remind us of the eternal life you've promised us for those who trust and know your Son, Jesus. We love you so much, Lord, and as we leave from this time, Father, I just pray that your glory would go out with us and that we would reflect your glory in a mighty and powerful way, that we would be part of this drawing process of bringing people to you. Father, we love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.